Well, it's good. We're back. We're live. Thank you for those who've put together the videos for the summer series. And if you want to see those, you can review them if you've missed some of them. But thank you for those who went out and filmed and talked and contributed. And we heard bits about what it is to be under pressure. So I want to give you a little bit of an update of where we are, just kind of from the church practical perspective, and then how we're going to go forward from here with a few ideas. We'll see where we go. First of all, the school. Obviously, kids have gone back to school, which is good for some and challenging for others. But overall, that's a good thing. But obviously, now the schools across the board have got to figure out, is this working? And particularly our school, where we meet at Clevedon School, they've got to figure out how it works. They've got their one-way systems and they've got their year groups and they've got everything else, but we are in discussions with them and starting to talk about how we can continue to share their space and use their building. But we're giving them some time to begin with, just to kind of get that together. But even if they said, yeah, you can do whatever you like, and we were able to go in tomorrow, actually, the regulations that the government have set down mean that we would have to do things in a very, very different way. And as many of you would know, you can only have 30 people in there. They would need to be wearing masks. You'd need to be socially distanced. You would need to be not singing. You would need to be not really socializing with each other. And so it's kind of not really church as we know it or love it. So we've got to work through that and we've got to see where we go on that, but I suppose rather than constantly looking at the horizon waiting for that rescue ship to come along and say, when can we get back and when can all of this go away, it may be time to actually say, well, what can we do? Let's focus on what we are allowed to do and what we can do together as a church. The back end of the Bible, after you read about the formation of the early church in Acts, the letters that are written are encouraging the churches in wherever they are, the emerging churches, to kind of figure it out, to not stop meeting together, to find ways of encouraging one another and to connect. And so that's what I'm going to suggest that we start focusing on, rather than focusing on what we can't do. Let's focus on what we can do. And so I really want to encourage you to consider making a Sunday bubble. We know get what a bubble means, a support bubble. We are allowed, the government says that we are allowed to meet in each other's houses with two households together. And if you already have a support bubble with someone else, that's not a problem. That's considered one household. So you could theoretically have a support, if you're already in a support bubble with someone else, you and them and a third could come together and it would still be two households. And so, yeah, think about who you can invite to your house, or think about how you can go to someone else's house and watch this live stream together, or watch the video that we put out, and then discuss, talk, encourage one another, and build each other up and pray. In Acts 2:42, it says, they devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching. They met in one another's homes. They broke bread together. They shared meals. And that's kind of where we're going, really, on this kind of journey together. So two households, see if you can pull it together. It's not going to be your group. Try and let's not get into, well, I'm going to run a group and you can come to my group. That's not what we want to try and achieve. We want to try and say, let's keep it a bit more fluid than that. Don't set on this is going to be it from now on a bit, but try it out a bit, because there might be some people who are away on holiday and your group, and you need to adapt and invite someone different and think about those who you might not normally connect with. Pray, see what God's saying, and we're not going to organize it to the letter. We just want to encourage you with these principles to say, let's do that. So the kind of rhythm will be maybe the first and third of the month, weeks of the month, we'll have this live from the landing. And then on the second and fourth week, we'll do our bubbles. And maybe the video content will be a little bit different. It probably won't have worship attached to it, but you can get some of that from somewhere else. And that's kind of how we're starting to move forward. As and we hope the government ease the amount of people who can be in one house, then we can expand those bubbles. We can get those Sunday bubbles slightly bigger and slightly bigger and slightly bigger, and then hopefully we can put all our bubbles back together and we can gather in the school or wherever, and we can do that. But we want to start with, let's see how we can get together, encourage one another, support one another in the smallest groups that are possible. You know, Jesus sent out his disciples on the journey, and he said to them, look, don't figure it all out. Don't take loads of money. Don't take extra shirts. Don't take bundles of different walking sticks. Just go with what you've got and figure it out on the way. You know, you're going to be in different people's houses. You're not going to know. You can't plan it all. And I know for some people that freaks you out, but that's kind of the way we need to go. We just need to keep nimble, keep adapting, and keep making the most of the opportunity. And this is an opportunity. We can do this. In some places, they can't. And in some places of the world, it's not even possible to do what we're saying. So let's do what we can. Okay. So on the weeks when it's live like this, there will be a Zoom coffee break afterwards. And on the weeks when we're in our bubbles, obviously you're going to have coffee with the people who you're in your bubble with. So, we're not going to do the Zoom coffee after that. So that's kind of the rhythm for a little bit, and we'll see how that goes and see how it develops. If you're struggling or you really can't find contact details for anyone, or you want to get in touch with someone, then let us know. But don't kind of ring us up and say, can you find me a bubble, because that's not really how it's going to work. You know, that's part of the new us figuring out what we can do. So hope that's okay. Bit of an update for you there. I haven't done this much talking for a while, so I'll have a drink. In Psalm 84, starting from verse 4, it says, blessed are those who dwell in your house. They are ever praising you. You know, that word dwell, we've talked about it before. It means abide. It means those who spend, where your heart is centered on God, and it's where you want to reside. You know, it's your home. If heaven is your home, if being with God is your place where you dwell, then you will be blessed. And then it says, blessed are those whose strength is in you, who've set their heart on pilgrimage. And I kind of thought, okay, what does that mean? That pilgrimage, that journey. The Bible's full of people going on journeys. And if you listen to the last summer series, you'll have heard from Willem and Talita as they were saying, hey, we didn't think we were going to move from South Africa to England. And then when we started it, we kind of thought, well, it's only going to be a short term thing. And now God's leading us step by step into something different. And we didn't kind of figure it all out at the beginning, and we didn't know this was where it was going to go. And that's what God does. He sets us going on a path, but he doesn't give us everything. He gives us the next step, and he says, come on, let's figure it out as we go. You know, he told Abraham, or Abram as he was at that point, leave where you're going. And he didn't even tell him where he was going to go. He just said, leave, and then we'll figure out where you're going to go. I'm going to lead you to a place. And this season feels a little bit like God saying, okay, come on. You know, I referred to the kind of desert island thing. You know, when you're stranded on a desert island, the first thing you do is kind of think, well, okay, I want to be rescued. I don't want this to happen. But there comes a point where you've got to say, well, hold on a minute. I'm stuck on this island. What am I going to do? I'm going to have to make the most of this. I'm going to have to build a decent shelter. I don't know how long I'm going to have to be here. And we don't know how long we're going to be in this pattern of living. And so rather than just kind of, when are we going to get back to normal, kind of beating our fists, why not say, well, what can we do and how can we do it? And that was the same with Israel, that they were led out into the desert. And they were. It was practical. God is practical. He gave them a pillar of fire by night to keep them warm. He kept the whole nation warm. He kept them in the shade the whole time. You know, God is practical, and the things that he says to us are practical. And then you see the disciples, Jesus saying, come on, follow me and we'll figure this out and we'll do something different. And so yeah, that's my challenge today, is are we prepared to go on that journey of something different and something new? It's going to change our perspective a little bit. Like I said, with the disciples, they were sent out with instructions to say, you know, you're not taking any of this or taking any of that or taking any of that. If you know kind of where you're heading, you get ready to know what is important for that journey. And you know, I think God is sort of saying to us now, it's time to figure out what's important. I mean, yeah, I often think when I look, I mean, decorating is one of those things. You start doing it and you realize how much stuff you've got, because you've got to take it all out of the room. And you realize not only that it's quite dusty, but there's lots of, and every now and again, I think, what would I take from this house if there was nothing, if I had to leave, if I just had to go? When the Jews were celebrating Passover, and that, you know, they were instructed to be dressed in a coat, ready to go, with their cloak tucked into their belt, because they needed to be ready to go. And I think God is kind of encouraging us to be a little bit more mobile and agile and ready to go, and realizing kind of what we need to have on us ready to go at any moment. Some of you have kind of missed worship, and that's great. But what it highlights often is that we've been provided with so much, you know, the team and Emily and all of their skills. It's just great to be in sung worship and have that. Well, we don't have that. So what are we going to do? Are we going to start becoming a worshiper ourselves? Are we going to equip ourselves with a heart that worships God? So, what tools do we need? I mean, I love a Swiss Army knife. If you know my dad, you'll know he often has a Swiss Army knife on the end of a piece of string attached to his trousers, and he's ready to go. But the funny thing is, the Swiss Army knife has changed over the years. When it was first made, it was made to kind of, with a big knife, and a can opener and a screwdriver, so that you could disassemble a rifle, and you know, it had some practical needs. If you buy a Swiss Army knife today, you get a laser pointer, a USB stick, what else? You get sort of a nail file, yeah. And I think that probably says a lot about our kind of where we're at. You know, back in the day, you actually needed a knife to do stuff, and now you just want a laser pointer and a nail file. And you know, maybe God is calling us to be equipped a little bit more, not only to do for ourselves, but then to do for others. I was with my neighbor last night, and she was saying, but talking about not being able to change a tire, and saying, well, I've seen lots of people change a tire, but I've just never done it myself. And that's kind of where some of us are at with our Christian walk. We've seen a lot of people do a lot of stuff, but we just haven't done it ourselves, and we couldn't. Now we're left kind of a little bit more isolated. We're not sure how to do it, and we certainly couldn't help someone else. And I think that discipling process is what God is calling us back to. It. How do I worship? But more than that, how do I help someone else worship? Someone says to me, well, what's worship all about? Do I know what a lifestyle of worship is about? About not just the singing part of it, but dwelling in the house of the Lord. So you get the sort of stuff we're talking about and that I'm talking about. Jesus gave principles, and then you do, and then we are to take those principles and make them work in our particular settings. I love the book of Ephesians, and we may go to Ephesians over these next few weeks. I'm not sure, because the theme of Ephesians is about the oneness of the church. It's about unity of the church, but it's not about a church in particular. Lots of letters that were sent to churches by Paul and others were to specific churches about specific issues, but Ephesians is about, it's about a wider perspective. It's about the church in the area, and it's talking about just some principles of being together and being one and being understanding, and they can be applied to the church today. In Ephesians and chapter 5, the end of very verse 15, it says, "Be very careful how you live. Don't be not to be unwise, but to be wise. Make the most of every opportunity, because the days are evil." That word "evil" is better translated as painful. You know, actually, this season we're in is pretty painful. It's frustrating. We're longing to be with each other. We're longing to be connected. We're longing to have the stress of all of this go away. And yet we need to make every opportunity and not look back and think, well, actually we could have done something, but we just didn't, because we were caught up in the what we couldn't do element of it. And then it goes, "Don't be foolish. Understand what the Lord's will is. Don't get drunk on wine, which leads to debauchery. Instead, be filled with the Spirit." And then it's stuff we can do. "Speak to one another with psalms, hymns, spiritual songs. Sing and make music in your heart to the Lord. Always give thanks to God the Father for everything in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ." So there's that kind of sense of encouraging each other. So I'm going to just read that from Ephesians again, just a final prayer. But let me just recap. You know, we're starting a slightly different season. We're starting on a different journey, a journey of what we can do, a journey to somewhere different and new, rather than looking at, you know, going back. The Israelites, you know, they got to the desert and they were free at last. You know, they were there, but it wasn't very long before they were like, "It was better back in Egypt. We had it great there." This, you know, and there is a little bit of that. You know, we constantly want to hark back to what was. But actually, this is an opportunity, a once in a lifetime, once in a generation opportunity to say, what could we do differently? And what could we do together in a different way that would actually bring back some of the reality of, the early church, where they did things more in a slightly more agile way. It doesn't mean we're doing away with meeting together and gathering, but hey, there could be something different. So let's be creative. Let's, you know, maybe that your bubble is not someone from the church, but it's someone who you want to have those conversations about spirituality with. It may be that it's time that you've been connecting with neighbors and you want to invite them in and say, "Hey, do you want to do church with us on a Sunday and just talk about stuff?" So we want to make it possible. It may be that you can't meet on a Sunday because your work or whatever, it doesn't work, or your childcare, in which case have your bubble at another time in an evening or whatever which suits you, and do it then. But yeah, don't just hear from God and figure it out. So yeah, I'm going to pray this prayer for us. And then I'll hand back to Tanya, who's wearing a lovely bright shirt today, like she always is. And she can finish off for us. This is in Ephesians 3 and verse 14. "For this reason, I kneel before the Father, from whom his whole family in heaven and on earth derives its name. And I pray that out of his glorious riches he may strengthen you with power through the Spirit in your inner being, so that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith. And I pray that you, being rooted and established in love, may have power, together with all the saints, to grasp how wide, how long, how high is the love of Christ, and to know this love that surpasses knowledge, and that you will be filled to the measure of all the fullness of God. Now, to him who is able to do immeasurably more than we ask or imagine, according to his power that is at work in us, to him be glory in the church and in Christ Jesus through all generations, forever and ever. The church is not ending, but it may be entering a slightly different and new season. It always has been through generation after generation. And we're here not to figure out why we're here, but to adapt and say, the time that we're given now, what are we going to do with it? And are we going to use this opportunity and to make the most of it to do something amazing for the kingdom of God? So bless you. Thanks for tuning in. I'm going to hand back to Tanya. Tanya has a shorter camera than I do, so I'm going to transition it to her.